The Holy Gospel for Christmas Eve from Luke chapter 2.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated as we sing our sermon hymn.
Christ is born.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel of Luke says in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night." Shepherds. Shepherds really aren't terribly significant, and chances are your child has not asked you if they can be a shepherd when they grow up, and you probably wouldn't encourage them to be a shepherd when they grow up. They're really not on the top 10 list for the most desirable jobs in the United States. And shepherds, well, they can be kind of lonely and kind of lowly. Lonely and lowly, and yet we find them in the gospel reading for today. So if you look at YouTube, you can find interviews with shepherds, and they'll tell you about their job, and the ones that have done their job for a while will tell you that shepherding can be kind of lonely. For about 9 months of the year, you might find yourself out in the fields with the sheep, taking care of them, trying to keep them alive, and you might not be able to see your friends or family, so it can get a little lonely. It can be lonely, but also it's kind of a lowly job in some ways, too. How many of you have seen Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe? Yeah, a couple of you have seen Dirty Jobs, and you know that Mike Rowe has been to some interesting places with his Dirty Jobs. One of the places that he went to was a sheep ranch, and you can look up the episode for that particular place that he visited, but it was a very interesting job that he had to do while he was at the sheep ranch. Look it up. But it can be kind of a dirty, messy job. And the shepherds in Jesus' day, the profession of shepherd really didn't have that good of a reputation. It wasn't a compliment to be called a shepherd. Shepherds might be able to sing that song that Garth Brooks wrote, "I've Got Friends in Low Places." And you wouldn't necessarily invite them to the party. They could be kind of unruly, and they were unclean, ceremonially unclean due to their work. And also, they weren't actually eligible to testify in a court of law. The Talmud, the Jewish writings, say that that the shepherds were not allowed to witness in the courts. And so the shepherds were kind of lonely folk, and they were also kind of lowly. And yet we find them in the Christmas story, and these shepherds are significant. Not because of the shepherds themselves, but because of the message that was given to the shepherds. As we continue reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 9, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them." I'm going to stop there for just a second. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Who was them? Remember, this is the shepherds. This is not a bunch of CEOs. This is not a bunch of rich people. This is not a bunch of movie stars, wealthy people, successful people. But an angel of the Lord appeared to them. That is, the shepherds. And as it says, "And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" Their greeting of "fear not" was very appropriate because angels can be scary. Now, this morning I talked about the angel that visited Mary, and I pointed to this lovely angel that we have on the tree. It's a lovely angel, beautifully dressed, kind of frou-frou-y. It's got nice, beautiful hair, nice little wings. You can find cute little angels all over the place. My mom has an angel collection, which I look forward to seeing when I get home after Christmas in California. She's got all kinds of angels, all kinds. And some of them are just adorable, cute little chubby cheeks and just cute. But that's not what you find in the Bible with angels. If you look at the Old Testament, you will find some incredibly scary and terrifying depictions of angels. Angels that are powerful, angels that destroy and incapacitate entire armies. These are the angels that appear to the shepherds, and it's no wonder that they said, "Fear not." But the angels have a message for the shepherds, for that's what angels are. That's the word angel, that means messenger, and these are the messengers that come from the presence of Almighty God, and they come to the shepherds, and they give to the shepherds an amazing message for them. Luke chapter 2, verse 11, these wonderful words. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This right here is what Christmas is all about. How many of you watch the Charlie Brown Christmas on TV or YouTube? A couple of you, and I'm sure a lot of you have seen it before. I was talking with some good folks about it not too long ago, and the Charlie Brown Christmas. And what is Charlie Brown doing? He's running around trying to find out the meaning of Christmas. Kind of like what we do sometimes, right? Searching for those last-minute gifts. I was out shopping last night. And we get busy with some of the shopping and the parties, and we can run around and look at all the trappings of Christmas, but miss out on the true meaning and purpose of Christmas. But Linus, with his little blanket, stands up there and he speaks those words from the gospel, the true word of God, and he says, Charlie Brown, that's what Christmas is all about. The essence of Christmas is Christ the Savior for you. A Savior who would come to take your sins and your sorrows upon the cross. As it says in the scriptures, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, not even one. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior who has come for you and for the shepherds and for all people. So what did those shepherds see when they went to the place where the child lay? Luke chapter 15, 16, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. I'm sure some of you have gotten Christmas cards with the beautiful nativity scene on the front. It's just gorgeous. And sometimes you'll get these cards that have gold around the edges, filigree, little sparkles. And then right in the center is baby Jesus. And it's almost like somebody did a perfect photo shoot there at the manger. I could just picture the photographer saying, hey, Joseph, can you move over about 2 inches to the left? We want it even with Mary on the other side. Yeah, right there. Hey, what's that donkey do? Hey, move the donkey over just up right there. Okay. Oh, everybody smile. And we have Mary with her eyebrows plucked and her perfect hair. And she just gave birth. Wow. It's this beautiful, idyllic scene, but it's so not what the shepherds probably saw in the manger. What they saw was a family there and a mother who had just given birth. A child laid in a feeding trough. A feeding trough. A place for hay, for animals, and that's where the child was. And this was their Savior. And you know, I think it's really fitting that the shepherds, these lowly shepherds, were there where this Savior was born. And who was invited to this special occasion? The lowly shepherds. Not the royalty, not others, but the shepherds. And they have a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, it makes me think about our Savior Jesus, a Savior who is for all people. But sometimes we get this picture of Jesus, and again, sometimes we get those images and photographs of Jesus that looks like this movie star. He's got this perfectly porcelain face and hair parted right in the middle and just a beautiful flowing gown. But what we have a Savior. We have a Savior who got dirt under his fingernails. We have a Savior who hung out with a lot of interesting folks. A Savior who came for the shepherds and for a lot of other different people. Isaiah 53 speaks of this Jesus. It says this, for he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. It's possible that Jesus looked like an ordinary fellow. I want to read to you some words from a great preacher, Peter Marshall, great preacher. And he's speaking to his congregation in Washington, D.C. Peter Marshall was called to a big church in Washington, D.C., an old church, pretentious church, a lot of folks who had been there a long time, and then later he would work for the Senate chaplain. But anyway, he's in this congregation and he's saying this to the people about the Christ. This is the Christ that he wants to share with them. The Christ who loved all kinds of people, but particularly red-blooded, for he himself was red-blooded. The Christ who called a spade and the chips fell where they might. Not the Jesus of the perfumed cloisters of pious sentiment, but the man who walked the streets of the city, stopping here and there to pass the time of day in places where you and I could not afford to be seen and getting a huge kick out of it. Let us be honest. Let us recognize that the kind of people that Christ liked best were not the kind of that the average church appeals to at all. Think of the people who he personally invited to be his friends. Peter and Andrew, James and John, fish merchants. Zacchaeus and Matthew, unpopular tax collectors. Saul of Tarsus, an aristocrat, a persecutor of the church. Mary Magdalena, once a prostitute. Peter Marshall goes on and he says this: we must invite the sophisticates, the irreligious, the lost, and the lonely. We must extend to them our fellowship and introduce them to Christ. That is our business and nothing else. For Christ likes people, all kinds of strange people, people whom we might have to think twice about cultivating. He wants them. This is the Christ who came in the manger. I saw a modern depiction of Jesus, and there was a picture of Jesus, and he was there around a group of unsavory-looking folks. He was there at this table, and around him were what looked like gangsters, and a prostitute over in the corner, and maybe some drug dealers, and it was an amazing image of Christ there. And it says in the Gospel, in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus is at Matthew, the tax collector's house, as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Not that Jesus condoned all the behaviors. Jesus was true God, a holy, perfect God. But nonetheless, he was willing to spend time with sinners, those whom other people were not necessarily willing to hang out with. So who is this Savior, Christ the Lord, for? Well, certainly he's for you and for me. But he's also for the movie stars with broken lives that you read about in the tabloids. He's the Savior who came to die on the cross for radical Muslims. He's the one who came for those that are immigrants, for those that are part of the LGBTQ community, for the rich who don't have any hope, for you, for those with all their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. That is Jesus, the Savior, who came. And we are so grateful. As it says in Luke 19:9, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 5:32 says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That is the essence of the gospel, that we turn in repentance away from our sin, and Jesus Christ is the one who has shed his blood for you and for all people. The message of the good news is for you today. God does not have some kind of criteria. He did not have a criteria before he came and died for you. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I thank the Lord for this Savior. And then I want to leave you with this. After the shepherds had seen their Savior, they were one of the first groups of people to share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says in Luke chapter 2:17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Notice that it wasn't the seminary trained. It wasn't those with all kinds of book knowledge that were some of the first to proclaim the Savior. But those lowly shepherds who were there and received the message with joy. And they were the ones who shared the message of a Savior, Christ the Lord, that is for all people. And that includes you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.